Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and begin. As in the past weeks, if you want to download the sheets, and then you can follow along on your computer by yourself, or you can continue to follow along on the screen as we have it up. All you need to do is hit the button on the top left with the disk and the arrow, the down arrow button, and that should download it to your computer. And then you can manipulate it as you see fit. Last week we had discussed the idea that the cessation of the prayers, that is, the person has the right to stop the prayers in order to air their grievances, assuming that they cannot have their grievances aired in any other fashion. And in a way, this week's topic sort of dovetails with that in the sense that we're going to discuss some of the limitations taking another Jew to court or to the secular authorities. In particular, the concept is known as Mesira, or Moser. The person is known as a Moser, that is, one that gives someone over. The act is called Mesira, that's the verb form. And in particular, we're going to talk about whether or not today those laws apply. That is, as we're going to see in a moment, and I'm sure most of you are aware, the traditional view was that it was prohibited to be Moser someone, that is, to give them over to the secular authorities under just about any circumstance. And indeed, it was considered a high crime to go ahead and do so, one that we're going to see again in a moment, that was deserving of death in and of itself. That is, just the fact that you would give someone over to the secular authorities, that act in and of itself is worthy of death. Well, if that's the case, and you don't think it limits one's actions in the sense that if you feel that, for example, you're involved in a particular piece of litigation and you feel that you're not getting justice in the Jewish courts, not only are you prohibited from going ahead and taking it to the secular courts, but in fact, if you would go ahead and do so, you yourself may be in violation of the law, and very harsh punishment is perhaps in play. Even though, you know, from a legal perspective, you may actually be 100% correct in your particular legal position. This particular law, as we're going to see in a moment, places limitations on what you can do to advance that particular legal position. And in particular, I'd like to deal with whether or not today anything has changed. That is, most people will generally understand that the court systems that we have, at least in the United States, are the system as a whole is fairly impartial. Whether or not there are particular areas that may be problematic is really a separate question, but the system as a whole, generally people understand, works. And what were these laws, that is, these laws that prohibit one taking another Jew to a secular court or giving or to the secular authorities, were those only applicable because Jews viewed the secular courts or the secular authorities as inherently corrupt? Or did they apply, do these laws apply irrespective of our particular views of American jurisprudence? So we begin by taking a look at the Rambam's formulation of this particular law, and that is the first source over here, and it says as follows. Asa hamosar shazamam hamosar yirolish asar lahargo. So if a person went ahead and is a moser, that is, they've gone to the secular authorities about another Jew, it appears to me, this is the Rambam speaking, shasar lahargo, it's prohibited to kill the moser. That is, the Rambam says, the rule is that yes, you can go ahead and kill him so long as it's clear that it wasn't an exception. That is, when he went ahead and was involved in this particular act of going ahead and going to the secular authorities, he's done this on more than one occasion, and there's actually a fear that he's going to go ahead and continue to do this. Therefore, I suppose to stop him, and it's a very permanent solution, you can go ahead and kill this Moser. And what's interesting is that, as is apparent from this particular halach, as well as a couple more extreme cases that we'll deal with in a few minutes, it doesn't matter whether or not it was correct. That is, it doesn't matter whether or not it was correct that you went ahead to the secular authorities and pled your particular position or said that this particular Jew is incorrect in their position. The act of going to the secular authorities and telling them about another Jew in and of itself, according to the Rambam, is deserving of death. And he says this wasn't just an abstract law. In fact, he says there are daily occurrences where we carry this out, where we go ahead and kill the person that takes another Jew or gives another Jew over to the authorities. And it's not, lest one think that it's merely because when they gave over a Jew to the authorities that the secular authorities killed the Jew. It has nothing to do with capital punishment by the secular authorities. Instead, as the Rambam makes clear, it's even if it causes another Jew just merely a monetary loss, that is, his property is seized by the secular authorities, you can go ahead and he is already considered a moser. And he says that you're allowed to go ahead and give over the moser to the secular authorities, so you can do what, I guess it's do unto others what they've done to you, and they can either lock him up or kill him or beat him or do whatever they want. Essentially, it's a free-for-all once he's been determined to be a moser. V'chein kol ha-meitzer l'tzibor u'mitzayer oso, and anyone that causes pain to the congregation, moter l'moser l'biad goyim l'hakosam l'osor l'knosam. And you can go ahead and give them over to the secular authorities, and they can beat him, lock him up, or fine him. However, if he's merely bothering a single individual, then you're prohibited from going ahead and giving him over to the secular authorities. And then he says an interesting caveat, that even though you're allowed to go ahead, and this moser, this informant, however, you can go ahead and give him over to the authorities, and if they kill him, they beat him, they lock him up, that's all fine. So long as you don't take his money, because his money ultimately is the property of his those that will inherit from him. So we can't take anything away from them, they didn't do anything wrong. So we limit it to just merely physical punishment or death of the informant, but we keep his money safe. So here we have this formulation that actually expands it somewhat in the sense that the Rambam doesn't just limit it to a moser, but he also includes v'chein kol ha-metzar l'tzibor, anyone that causes pain to the community. One is allowed to go ahead and give them over to the secular authorities. And additionally, the Rambam points out that this was actually practiced, again, so that no one's under a false impression that somehow these halachas were not in play. The Rambam states explicitly that, in fact, they were carried out, that they were done, and in fact, informants were killed at that time. Now, we move on to another very interesting tshuva. This is the tshuva. The Rambam obviously wasn't a tshuva, but this is from the Zichron Yehuda. The Zichron Yehuda is from Yehuda, the son of the Rush. As you can see in the paragraph that actually precedes this, this is we're going to deal with a problem which I'm sure most of you already figured out, that when discussing these issues, as should come to no surprise, being that these issues are somewhat sensitive towards both the secular authorities as well as other Jews. It's unsurprising that many of the times, and we're going to see in a moment another very extreme example of this, some of the literature on this topic wasn't necessarily always available or wasn't always available in the format it was originally intended. And this particular responsum from the Son of the Rush was similarly dealt with. And that is, there's a parenthetical, which I'll read in a moment, that explains this. Chuvazuhu mukoma b'ksav yad achar semenayin dalei karoi, v'ani hamagia etzati b'tzof ha-sefer v'daf miyuchat. So what happened is that in a particular printing, this chuva was removed from its place. In other words, it should come as number 75 of the responsa, but instead it was printed at the back of the book. And the reason it was printed in the back of the book, and now we have a parenthetical. And this is just worth pointing out, although I may have pointed it out earlier, I don't recall. The sources, the majority of the sources that we have tonight, with the exception of one, all come from the text I've taken from the Bar Ilan Responsa Project. And rather than use parentheticals, that is, the sort of sideways smiles. When they insert something into the text, they precede it, it's both preceded and at the end of it, by a plus sign. And that indicates these are the notes of the editors. These are not the words of whoever wrote this. Instead, these are the editor's notes. And the editors of the responsive project explain as follows. Hamasko Yavin, Hamatkis Berlin, Hitfis Chuvazu, Hadana Mehilchas Minim, Emotion Lebesof. That is in the Berlin edition of the Chuvah Zichron Yehuda. This particular responsum appears at the very end. Bechdei laharim al hatsensor ha-Rusia kishe yagishu lo bedika es ha-sefer, b'lidase. What they did was they actually included it at the very, very last page. And the reason that they did it, according to the editors, is so this way they could trick or hide this from the Russian censor. And that is when they gave it to him for approval, they didn't include this page at all. And then only when they printed it did they include this at the very end of the book. And this was actually, this wasn't the only case. They indicate that there is other books that were similarly printed that in order to get around the governmental censors, they went ahead and did not submit these particular things, and therefore they removed them from the order that they should have appeared in. And it appears in the very back of the book, and that's what this beginning note is saying, that it's at a specific page in the back of the book. But now, getting to the text of the Chuvah. Garcina Repair Kama, the Tani Rebbevo, Kamejer Rebbe Yochanan, Hamina v'hamoshim v'hapikarsim aridim v'lo ma'alim. It says that the minim, the moshim, and the apikarsim, they go down and they do not come up. What does that mean? Pirish maridin oso labar la'avdam bi'adayim. We can throw them into a pit to destroy them with our own hands. In other words, it's not a passive act, we can even actively take part in their destruction. Heiki dami moser. What's the case of moser? Moser ha-moser guf ha-mono bi'ad obeid elilim. That is, if you give over a Jew or his money in the hands of non-Jews, then that is considered a moser. Lo mi bai hanimser shu mutter lahatzil asmo. Surely the person that either his money or his body was given over to the secular authorities can defend himself and can save himself. Ela afilu kol ech o kol adam me Yisrael hashamem migezam umasrabo v'ena mekabal hasrasa chayav lahargo. Any Jew has the ability, if they warn him, that is, they warn the moser, and he continues to go ahead and do whatever and give over the Jew or his money, you can go ahead and kill him. D'cheven she'ein umas ola merachman al amono, Nolin hayon miksaso lamachar miksaso. So he actually explains why this is, and he says, because even though it may appear, you know, fairly innocuous that they take some money, but he says, what's to stop them from taking, because they have no pity? They'll take a little bit today, and they'll take more tomorrow, and vasof miastrinoso vahargenoso. And in the end, it just leads to needlessly killing Jews. Ula yodesh shesh lamamon, So even today, we can go ahead and do this. In other words, we are allowed to go ahead and follow through on a capital punishment. That is, we can give this guy death, even though generally we're prohibited from doing that. That is, if one goes to Beis Din today, and although in the Torah and as well as in other codifications of Jewish law, there are many offenses that are capital crimes. We all know that no one is put to death today, or there are no capital crimes, and that Beis Din generally doesn't take part in capital crimes. This is the sole exception that we still have the ability to mete out the death penalty. And the Rush explains that Philippus Manas said, the Afrikaf Shabitu Dal Misos Mehayom, Shigolus Sanhedrin, Hainu Dafka Shein Lodun Ha'odam Lachaive Misa Al Echad Min Ha'Veira Shachaive Al Misa. When we say that from the time of the Sanhedrin, that the time after the Sanhedrin was exiled, we no longer are able to judge capital crimes, that's only with regard to sins that actually have as their punishment some sort of death penalty. She'ein Sanhedrin b'mkomein reshayin lodon oso l'misa. Avol elu d'chashivi b'perek ben sora amor. Shematzin oso b'napshom, she'ein hargin l'sha'avar, el lahabok, el lahatzil anirdil mimavis, mafkia oso lo badlo. Dein misasin tulin lo be'edav lo be'edav. Says this is a separate case, because the reason that he's subject, the reason why the informer is subject to death, is not because he committed a particular sin. But as he explained previously, this is more just a way to save yourself. It's like any time that you're sort of in self-defense, you're acting in self-defense over here. So therefore, it doesn't depend upon witnesses, doesn't depend upon a court. It's just simply self-defense. That's it. Because we understand that if we don't go ahead and take these very drastic measures, ultimately it will affect us negatively, we're allowed to go ahead and do this. And he uses the Rambam that we just saw to say that the Rambam holds that there are actually cases today. That is, even though normally the death penalty has been suspended, this is the one instance that the death penalty is still alive in Jewish law. So he just quotes the Rambam that we saw. So the Rush's teacher said that even though Jews, he limits it somewhat, that Jews can't actually go ahead and stab the guy, but they're allowed to go ahead and give him over to someone else, to non-Jews, to go ahead and take care of him. In fact, the normal requirements that we have to put someone to death don't apply by a moser, because as he's just explained, it's merely a product of self-defense. It's merely another iteration of self-defense. So as such, it doesn't require one to warn them. You don't have to do it. Normally we say that in order to put someone to death, the person has to have been warned so we can determine whether or not the person actually knew what they were doing. But if we know the person knows the laws, he doesn't require a warning, this is something that everyone knows. So therefore, there's not even a requirement of a warning. This is the Rebbe Magash. This is Rashi's teacher. The Moser Echad be Alisanya b'yom kippurin shechalios b'shavas b'shas nila. So in fact, we know of this rather shocking case that, lest one think that this is a minor thing, on the holiest day of the year, on Yom Kippur, on the holiest Yom Kippur of the year, the Yom Kippur that fell out on Shabbos, at the holiest time of Yom Kippur that fell out on Shabbos, that is during the Ilah, the Rebbe Magash went ahead and killed a Moser. So therefore, he answers that a person can, of course, go ahead and take this into their own hands and kill an informer. Okay? So this is what we have, this classic iteration from the Rishonim, that the case of Moser, that is the law of Moser, that is whether or not one can kill an informer, applies, at least in their time. Now, so that's hundreds of years ago. We're talking 1200s, dependent upon exactly what we're talking about here, 1100s. But what about today? So, the Rabbi Lezer Waldenberg goes ahead and deals with this. Now, with regard to the Rebbe Magash, this is recorded in the Zichron Yehuda, and I'm pretty sure it's also recorded in the Rush. Whether or not there's any independent verification, there is not, to my knowledge. That said, all these things have to be understood with the caveat that most of this was done surreptitiously, that no one was announcing the fact that they were going to go ahead and essentially do vigilante justice at a time when Jews may or may not have been allowed to operate their own courts, or surely to mete out capital punishment. So the fact that there isn't necessarily any independent verification doesn't really tell us one way or the other whether or not this actually happened, the case of the Rebbe Magash. Be that as it may, whether or not it actually happened or it didn't happen, it is clear that the Rush and the Rush's son, as well as the Rambam, seem to say that because of the fact that this practice had been ongoing, that they're willing to sanction it because of the fact that people were continuing to do this. Now, turning to our time, and this is Reza Waldenberg, who recently died. It was a few years ago. I don't remember the exact date, but he's, you know, someone who's definitely was around in the 21st century. And he was asked about a rather unfortunate case, although it does come up with an unfortunate amount of frequency. Two cases, actually. Yeled Hamuka B'mezed Aydei Horuf, a child that his parents had beaten. B'nehev B'tzua Kasha and Matzu Shal B'kuach Nefesh. And in fact, their beatings were so severe that it was really a case of, you know, there's potential life threatening. Umuva le besacholim, and he's brought to the hospital. Ukasher harofe mislonen b'mishtara ma'avir nesayyele lidei mishpacha umanis o mesod. And if the doctor goes to the police, they may take the child away. They may take it to another family or to an orphanage. Ma'adin marofe yoder she'aviro so le bayis o le mesod lo dati. What is the law if you know that they're going to take him to an orphanage or to some sort of institution that's not religious? Or let's take it one step further, the questioner says. What if they're going to take him to non-Jews? The child's going to be put in the custody of non-Jews. In instances such as this, should the doctor still report this or not? Now, first of all, it should be pointed out many states actually have mandatory reporting laws. That is, when there are cases of child abuse or sexual abuse, suspected cases of sexual abuse, there's a class of people known as mandatory reporters, and that varies by state. And therefore, it would actually be a case where you would have secular law potentially conflicting with Jewish law, and that's a whole another analysis, and he's not dealing with that particular case over here. But he continues, So the first question dealt with, one can spin it as he did, that it's a case of pikuach nefesh, it's a potential life-threatening. So what if he says another rather shocking case, although it's not life-threatening in the sense that we understand life-threatening, a girl who's abused by her father, so there's no pikuach nefesh, it's a sexual abuse, not that that's anything at all minimal, but there isn't the life-threatening in the sense that he's using it. Moser, if you inform about the father, is this considered Masira? Shaila? That's the question. And he says, and he continues, the questioner, Gimel, Yesh Mikrim Yudum Shal Tislonos Minashamora Began Yeladim, Nikevas is Farm, Bizeh, Began Bishne Mikrim Hakodman, Shal Ani Kaes Mitzad Hadin Shamoser. He says, I'm asking solely with regard to the halacha of the informant. So if it's a question of that he's a communal problem, we already know that you can go ahead and inform on him. And that's what we saw in the Rambam originally. With regard to the first case where the parent is beating the child, so that's pikuach nefesh, and that we can get out of because we can say that it's self-defense. Achmaye hadin b'shayla beis. What about the middle question? That is the case of sexual abuse. Halo kasava shulchan aruch she'aser. This, according to the law of the shulchan aruch, this would seem to be prohibited. And the reason is because the shulchan aruch, and he quotes it now, v'afilu hu rasha u'bala veris, afilu hu meitzer lo u'mitzaro. The Shulchan Aruch explains that even if you know the guy's a bad person, it's still prohibited from informing on him. Does that apply to this particular case? In other words, that there's a physical as well as a psychological damage to the daughter, obviously. And this is all just a question. We haven't gotten to the answer yet at all. And he says that the questioner explains that obviously, you know, for the individual questions, you know, a person has to consult with whoever they're consulting with, but we want to know, however, he's asking Rabbi Waldenberg, at least give me an idea of what you're thinking over here. And this is from Avram Sofer, who actually has written a bunch of books on medicine and Jewish law. So we get the answer, tshuva. And this is Yom Gimel Teves Tavshin Nun Aleph. This is 1991. This is not 1200s, 1300s, 1400s. This is 1991. He says to Professor Avram Sofer, Avram says, I'm writing back to you, and he says as follows. This is not, obviously, this is just an excerpt, and you can take a look at the full thing on your own. He says, the question is whether or not you can go to a secular, whether or not you can go to the secular authorities. That's really the question, whether or not you can go ahead and inform on him to the secular authorities. So he continues and he says as follows. So now he's getting to something that actually we've touched on before and actually makes some sense. He says, when it comes to secular courts, it seems that we can make a distinction. That is between free countries and closed countries. As we find that the Aruch HaShulchan makes this distinction between just countries and unjust. And he's now going to quote, Hameir Sham Bekasov, Shchol Hamadibra Bedine Moser Veshas Veposkin, Hu Bechagon Bedinos Harachokos. The Hashokan says, and we're going to see the full quote in a moment in the next source, but the Tzitz Eliezer quotes this, and he says that the entire law, all the laws that govern informers, only apply to the faraway countries, that in those countries the person doesn't have any faith in his personal property being protected. Hagam Shinoso Shem Nishara. In other words, even though they may have some sort of government, it doesn't matter. There are certain countries that their government doesn't function correctly, and a person is always in fear that they may not get justice and their property or their person may be seized at any time. Kiyodu Agam Hayom Be'eza Medinos Me Africa. As we know today, and this is the Aruch HaShulchan speaking, certain countries in Africa. Masha Enkein, the Aruch HaShulchan continues, Bemalke Europa, as distinct from the European countries, Ein Shul. So now we actually have what we would think the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Waldenberg, would use to distinguish between way back in the time when Jews lived under fear, that they never felt that their rights were respected. However, today, where we have courts that don't distinguish between Jew and non-Jew, in fact, it's prohibited from distinguishing between Jew and non-Jew, it should be a no-brainer, as it was. We should be able to say that today the entire law, as the Aruch HaShulchan does, the laws of Mesira, the laws of an informer, no longer apply. They're limited to instances, as we saw, if you recall, the rationale of Mesira, if you recall from the Rush, was that it was self-defense. It was because we had no other option. The fear was that if we didn't stop this person now, it would just go on endlessly, and the government would be constantly seizing our stuff unjustly, and then eventually it would lead to them killing us. Now, we know in most countries that's not the case. So if that's really the rationale of Moser, as we saw in the Rush, then the Aruch HaShulchan seems to be right. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer goes ahead and is going to minimize the effect of this Aruch HaShulchan. And he says, "Umuchach me Aruch HaShulchan." It is clear from the Aruch HaShulchan, Shalom. Shalom Kiven Bitzvarav Rak Misham Malchus. You want to know why he wrote this, as Tzitz Eliezer says? He wrote this solely to appease the government. Kimefarit Baholech Shalom Adugma Gam Shemo Shalom Adina Shalom Merchokim Merchak Rav Ma'od Mimikomus Megurov. He says the countries that he lists as unjust are faraway countries. But his own country doesn't do so. Therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer says we have to discount the entire statement of the Aruch HaShulchan. and that the statement of the Aruch HaShulchan does not apply, and that it was said solely because he was afraid or he wanted to appease the government. And therefore, he actually says that one cannot go ahead and inform on these cases, in these instances that he was asked about. That is, one cannot tell the authorities, even though one would think that perhaps today is different. He actually holds that one cannot go ahead and tell the authorities, and if, presumably, if someone went ahead and did tell the authorities, according to Rabbi Waldenberg, that person would be subject to the laws of Moser, which, as we saw, are very, very harsh indeed. But now, and that's actually, if we're talking about today, and, it's important to note that although, others may disagree with this, Rabbi Waldenberg took the position that the laws of informants still apply with equal force today. But now let's actually look at the Aruch HaShulchan, at what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan says as follows: Ara yadua l'chol korei hadora shivizman hakadmo b'medinas harachokos lohel ish bitachon begufa v'momono v'fnei shodrin v'anusim av shenasa aleim shem misharak yadua gam hayom eiz medinas me'afrika hashor v'achamash shepachos ha'mashala osin v'al tov Yisrael Malki Europa. He says that all the laws of Moser, that is, all the laws of informants, were applied earlier times when Jews had no rights. However, and were limited to instances that people couldn't be sure of their property, as we know the case was in his day in Africa. However, he says, Galatov Yisrael Malki Europa, however, we have to mention positively the kings in Europe, Ubiyichid Adunenu Hakira Meirosha, the Russian Tsar, Ve'avosav Hakisarim Umalchus Britannia, Sheparshu Kantam Mshalta Ba'artus Arachokos. And also, we have to, make positive mention of the Russian Tsar's family, as well as the British Crown, that, based on its colonialism, has spread its wings or spread its government across the world. That they protect people, that the wealthy don't have to hide what they have, so that people won't steal from them. And that they'll kill them. And this is the basis of all the laws of Moser. He's articulating the same rationale that we saw in the Rush, and he's saying the Aruch HaShulchan, and this is in the 1910, 1920 period, that the basis for Moser is solely because it was a lawless society. But if we live in a society that is governed by laws, the laws of Moser no longer apply. Now, obviously one can, as Rabbi Waldenberg did, understand the Aruch HaShulchan as very limited, and that he did it solely to appease the government, but it's odd. Well, first of all, because no one prior to the Aruch HaShulchan thought necessary to make this disclaimer. That is, although other people discussed the laws of informants, and other people discussed the laws of informants that may have lived in Russia or in Britain or anywhere else, and they printed their books, and as we saw, they devised various schemes to get around the censor, as we saw in the case of the Zichron Yehuda, where they printed the page at the end of the book. No one thought it necessary to explain away all the laws of Moser and say that they don't apply because they only applied in lawless societies and they don't apply in society today. So it's very odd to argue, or it seems at least a stretch to argue, that the Aruch HaShulchan was compelled to do so in order to appease the government. I mean, no one prior to the Aruch HaShulchan thought necessary to appease the government in this particular fashion, and it's odd that we would take this very clear statement of the Aruch HaShulchan that limits Moser to just prior to prior history and say that really it cannot be taken at face value. Be that as it may, Rabbi Waldenberg clearly did that. It's debatable whether or not the Aruch HaShulchan actually meant that. But according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the answer to Rabbi Waldenberg's question is resounding yes. One can absolutely go ahead and tell the secular authorities about a person that's abusing their child, whether physically, whether they're beating them, or sexual abuse, or anything else. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, at least the plain reading of the Aruch HaShulchan, one can go ahead and do that because essentially society and the Jews' position in society has changed over time, and we now live in societies that are governed by laws, and therefore the entire section of laws dealing with informants, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, at least according to the simple reading of the Aruch HaShulchan, no longer applies. Now, turning to another contemporary halakhic authority, and that is Rabbi Feinstein, or Moshe Feinstein, he similarly has a question about whether or not one, in a particular instance, although it's not nearly as extreme as the case of Rabbi Waldenberg, whether or not one can go ahead and give someone to the secular authorities. And this case, although this is from 1971, this case actually, unfortunately, appears with some sort of frequency. This was a very similar case happened in Muncie last year. And the case is, Ve'echad sh'nisparei shemochan nevelos v'trefos b'tzur kashrus, imoto letova barko, shu omer shu yitzayis l'dini Yisrael. A person was selling meat that was not kosher, and he was selling it as kosher, whether or not you can go ahead and take him to non-Jewish court. And this was a question in Baltimore in 1971 through Rabbi Pliskin is the questioner. And it says as follows, Kibalti miftava v'dava harasha ba'al kolach shobezden harashas kasher ka'asher kasher asher ziyach chosamos v'tolos al nevelos v'trefos. So what this guy did, Rabbi Moshe explains, he forged the symbol, that the kosher symbol, and he put it on things that were not kosher, umochli yehudim b'tor kashrus, and he sold it as kosher. Shanidin hu im lemosar v'arkos hamadina, shidonu kosher b'kesef u'mosar, o shidinu osu harabonam b'dina Yisrael. And the question is whether or not they should give him over to the secular authorities, and they will fine him, and they may put him in jail, or whether or not it should be limited to just Jewish courts. That is, should we go to the authorities and say this man has committed fraud, which is a secular offense? That is, he's violated the law, the laws of the United States, or potentially violated the laws of the United States. Or do we just say, no, we cannot do that. Even though we have a vehicle in which to go to the secular authorities, he's violated secular law, we have to deal with this only through the Besdin. Linnaeus Daiti, he says, Afshe Poshu, Gadol Ma'od. He says, even though he committed a horrible sin, Ukanira in Baal Tshuva Klal, and in fact, it appears he has no remorse about this. Mikol Mokom, he says, however, Kol Zman Shlo Re'inu Shedina Yisrael in Yichol Mahafsiko, so long as a Jewish court can stop him from doing this, Ein L'dono Ba'akos Mishtei Tainot. There are two reasons why, he says, you cannot take him, you cannot give him over to the secular authorities. So even though he may have violated a law, secular law, Rav Moshe says, you cannot give him over to the secular authorities. Chada, he says two reasons. Chada, dafilu lo yodino barkos, elokidine Torah, also lo don barkos. Even if it would be true that the secular authorities are only going to apply Jewish law, you're still prohibited from going to the secular courts. That's one. Two, va'od, habadai emidona b'moshe v'momon shlokidine Yisrael. Furthermore, they're going to fine him and put him in jail. And that does not comport with Jewish law. And if they go ahead and do that, then the people that gave him over to the secular authority, so that was even though he sold non-kosher food, non-kosher meat to the entire Baltimore, or a good portion of Baltimore, you're not allowed to give him over. And if you give him over, the person that does so may be qualified as an informer. Shasa l'mosar l'Yisrael bi'arakum, b'emekufu b'ememor. V'rakishi yiru, he says, the only time that you'd be allowed to go ahead and appeal to the secular authorities, rakishi yiru she'en dine Yisrael yichol mahasik oz yeshetzer. If we would see that the Bezdin, for whatever reason, could not stop him from selling this, then you're permitted to go ahead and contact the secular authorities. Achar she'yasur bo, she'ativu osar l'arkos, so, after you warn him that he will eventually, that you're going to go to the secular authorities, and it's clear that the Jewish courts, or the current setup of the Jewish court system, or the rabbis, is insufficient to deal with this problem, then you can go ahead and give him, and give him up to the secular authorities. Therefore, he says, he finishes, in conclusion, he says, it appears to me that the thing to do is first try to judge him amongst the Bat HaRabbanim, b'chol ma'asha b'yado, whatever they can do, v'ikr l'poso l'moko melimchor darim sherim, v'im lo yitzayis, oz yavyu l'odin barkos. But you first need to go and attempt to deal with him internally, with the Jewish courts, and if that's unsuccessful, only then can you go ahead and appeal to the secular authorities? So Rev Moshe seems to, although he doesn't address it directly, he seems to reject the notion that the Aruch HaShulchan articulated, that today, because we have a competent judicial system, the laws of Moser do not apply. It would appear from Rav Moshe's from Moshe's statement that the law of Moser still applies, he doesn't at all distinguish between whether or not whether or not the judicial system works or not. He mainly focuses on the idea that it potentially the punishment does not comport with Jewish law, and so long as the punishment does not comport with Jewish law, then the law of Moser still applies. That for him seems to be the most important factor. If somehow the law that they would apply would be the law, would be Jewish law, then perhaps there's something to talk about, but otherwise, the laws of Moser still apply today, according to this particular tshuva of Rav Moshe. So, what we have, though, are essentially then three different opinions. We have the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan that Moser does not apply today because the rationale of Moser was more a self-defense rationale, which no longer applies. The flip side of that is Rabbi Waldenberg, who says that the Aruch HaShulchan was merely saying that to appease the government, but he accepts as true the rationale of self-defense. And then we have Rav Moshe that seems to take the position that it isn't necessarily limited to self-defense. Instead, what it is, it seems the reason why you cannot go to the secular authorities is because the law that they'll apply, at least partially the reason you cannot go to the secular authorities is because the law that they'll apply is not necessarily Jewish law, which ultimately appears to be a rejection of the Aruch HaShulchan's position. Now we get to another contemporary. This is Yaakov Reich, the Chelkas Yaakov. Omer Eilech B'Hemsar Al Tanai E Misol Leidus Ma'wa De Mizmanazet. This question deals with an ancillary question, and that is, aside from the fact that one can go ahead and kill an informer also can no longer give testimony. He's pasul for eidos. And the question that he was asked is whether or not that applies today as well. The davar shaltov is elashon b'chosh mishpat shin peches sevches v'amar eilef emser the pasul eidos l'shvuim zedaka b'zman shirochim ha'yisraelim v'moser chabero az ma'anshinoso mishum shu yehudi v'im nachri yasa zehadavar ein ma'anshin. Az nekromoser. Afilu v'sman as a shein rodfin Yisrael b'din. Imanachi yasa adavar manshin osam mishum shapashal malchus and gamken nekromoser lechol hani mile dibesim shin peches. He asks as follows. Essentially boils down to the question the Aruch HaShulchan whether or not today, because today Jews are protected the same way anyone else is protected, whether or not the laws of Moser in this particular case we're dealing with whether or not they're pasul for eidos, whether or not the laws of Moser apply today. And he says as follows: Haraayin b'shochar arka poskim yirala lehedyo de'ein chiluk. He says, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and the poskim, it's clear that there is no distinction between today and past days. Even if you're going just to secular court to get what is due to you, machlokas v'simin shin peches v'ashach shom daito demikri moser. The Shach holds that even though you're totally entitled to this, they're not going to give you anything that otherwise you wouldn't be entitled to. It's still considered a moser. Essentially, he brings a Gemara in Brachos that proves the point that even though you're only going to get what's due, there's still the halacha of Moser. V'yatzir shachalek de'bisham yador v'pshila de'bahad yanshu alazul z'shom lekal lachos b'chinyur the Moser moment. Maybe you can distinguish between the two. Doesn't matter. He says, mikol makom came in the mevor be'olkama gavi uvda drevkana kuted, and he says moment sheyisrael came in the nachol b'yat akum emrachim alav, and he says v'hu b'shochan aruch poskim halacha lo nishtane hadin b'zeh, that the rule is. And this is the way that we saw previously. This is the Rambam and the Rush. They all say this, and we saw earlier that even if it's just money, even if it's just simply giving money over, if we don't do that, and that's brought in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim Lacha, and that does not change.
The
Bain Laharach Yosef is that. And he says, essentially, don't trust the non-Jews today. They still aren't right. And therefore, it still applies today, which is obviously a very harsh view of non-Jews. But be that as it may, he similarly takes the position that all the laws that apply to Moser that we have been discussing till now still apply today. They're in full force today. So whether or not it be whether or not a person can testify, or presumably anything else, whether or not a person can go ahead and do a form of vigilante justice and take care of the informant, one can go ahead and do that according to him. He seems to reject what essentially is the distinction of the Aruch HaShulchan, and he says that it applies equally today.